I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where I find it a treat and a treasure to introduce you to members of our church staff and people from our community. And I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas.
Hey, hi, Kiva Christ. Hallie, how are you?
I am... blessed. I'm blessed. Of course I'm blessed. Blessed, 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 blessed.
Although, so good to hear.
Well, I'm sort of struggling.
Oh, no.
A little bit at the same time. It took me forever to get around to it because I just know it grieves the heart of God. But I just finally watched that Falwell documentary that some lefty put together to make people hate God. Have you seen it on Hulu?
Oh, no. I don't get Hulu, Hallie. I canceled all that.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
what do you want? You just do YouTube?
Right now, I'm just doing Beachbody and also Mark Lauren Bodyweight Gym. And you know what? Everything I subscribe to is just a workout thing, I think.
Oh, cool. Well, anyway, these Hulu God haters, these Hollywood elites, made this thing to try to turn people away from God. And it is, you know, detailing the Falwell story with the pool boy. The movie, I think it's called God Forbid.
You know, I heard about that whole scandal, I think, but I don't really know what happened. What was it?
Well, the problem with the doc is that they put it into the context of what was happening culturally at the same time. And basically, the nuts and bolts of it are that the Falwells, you know, there was a sex tape of them with a pool boy, and then it ended up in the hands of Trump's lawyer, that what's his name, Cohen, who went to jail, but he had their sex tape, and so then he blackmailed them to get the Falwell endorsement, and so Falwell brought all the evangelicals over into the Trump camp, and they're saying, you know, basically they threw an election based on this Christian sex tape. And
but if you really back up, Hallie. And I just want to point this out. How common is it for these blackmail tapes? I just feel like this is probably Gavin Newsom as something setting up good Christian people and then using blackmail to get what they need.
That's right. That's right. And everyone is supposed to be so outraged that these Christians are having sex. And you know, I find the whole thing completely disgusting. They reenacted some of the sex scenes in the documentary, and I'll never recover. I just don't know how anybody does it. And, you know, but it's covered in the blood, and these poor Falwells and their poor family and their kids having to, you know, see this stuff with their mom and dad, you know, having sexual relations with someone their age, you know, the kids' age type of thing.
One time I was in Miami and a poor boy tried to come on to me and I was just like, first off, backing up the wrong tree. And then, you know, I basically threw a virgin daiquiri at his face and just said, get away from me.
Awesome.
Turns out, I don't think it was a pool boy trying to come on to me. It was actually a pool boy trying to take my wet towel. But, you know, he spoke Spanish. I didn't understand what he was doing.
Well, why are there pool boys? It's just so unnecessary. You know, the Bible says if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And I'm sure that if there had been pools in the time that the Bible was written, they would say, you know, there's no reason to ever have a pool boy.
There's
it's better
no
to
reason.
Let your pool be dirty than for your soul to burn for all eternity
totally.
In hell.
What's the point even?
And it just brings up a lot of stuff, you know, about just, you know, we have an election coming up. Here we are in the midterms. And I just would like to remind everybody that, you know, we have to protect our democracy. And I don't think people understand what democracy is. All these lefty libs, they act like, oh, democracy means that every eligible adult can vote. And it's like, oh, really? You want everyone in the country voting? I don't think so.
No, you don't.
No, we want the right people to vote.
Exactly.
And the Republicans are very clear on this. And it's just sad. We have to live with these liberals out there pushing the lie that democracy means, you know, every adult gets a vote, which is pure ignorance. And honestly, they should be embarrassed because we know full well that a healthy democracy happens when the right people vote.
That's right.
The only bad thing about, I always think about this great, the only bad thing about democracy is that it begins with democra, just like the word Democrat. And it's just such an evil word.
Can we rebrand that?
I know. I wish we referred to the USA as a republic more often because then it's with that word Republican. You know,
that's right.
It's just another way the libs try to constantly squash us. But any hoodles, I just wish that people understood actual democracy, you know, for what it is. It's best as a right wing kind of like that. We have the authority and we can be ultra nationalist in our ideology with one strong central leader and a kind of like a centralized, you know, militaristic, you know, suppression of the opposition and these people who, you know, in the Trump years called themselves the resistance. You know, democracy means a belief in a social hierarchy and the subordination of individual interests for, you know, the perceived good of the nation.
You know, I am inspired, though, this midterm, Hallie, because at least you've got some awesome Christians that are running who are also really physically fit. I mean, have you seen this guy, Herschel Walker? He is awesome.
Yeah.
And I just, first off, he's clearly really doing the hard work in the gym. And then he comes through with these amazing quotes. One of the ones that I printed out and just put on my bulletin board is, you know, he said something along the lines of, you know, as someone who is a child of the utmost high God, we've got to get rid of pronouns because it's going to get service members killed and babies, the unborn, have to be protected at all costs. Because all these taxes are no, and then I think he meant no good. And I am just really, you know, the quote is so memorable. I'm not doing it justice. But it's long and really touches on all the issues kind of in one quote.
Oh, yeah.
So
I think
great.
That's clear, crystal clear. And that makes total sense to me. And unfortunately, these libs, they're going to.
And then I think he ended with high five.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's so cool. Isn't that fun?
But you know what? The racist, satanic liberals are going to come after Herschel Walker the same way they did Cosby and OJ. And it's an honest to goodness shame.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if a pool boy shows up at a Herschel Walker, you know, pool party fundraiser any day now, just trying to throw him under the bus.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, just like Jesus descended to hell to fight Satan for 3 days before rising on Easter morning, our guest today has surely been to hell and back. I would like to introduce to you my friend Jody Deere. Welcome to the program. How are you feeling, my man?
I am feeling so blessed, so anointed. I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. Awesome. I'm just so happy to be here in your presence. You know, I've been traveling America. I'm hoping to travel the world to spread the good news and to really bring awareness about what hell is like. So thank you so much for inviting me here so I can talk to your congregation.
Well, to give our listeners a little context, Jody, you are speaking at Twin Hills all weekend in every service and doing a very, very powerful testimony about your experience. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and what you're doing?
Of course.
Hey, Brandon.
Sorry about I have my son with me.
I know. Is he the one that's on the, what are those called? Roller, not skates, but the little wheels on the bottom of his shoes. Is he going up and down the hallway there?
Yeah. So we kind of modified all his clothing to have some kind of wheel to it. So regardless of what he's wearing, he's going to be able to kind of skate around. And we love it, but it also does kind of create some kind of a nuisance. So sorry about that. I don't want
to. That's okay. Well, the hallways here at the church are very smooth and long. So yeah, every time he whizzes by the studio window here, I'm getting a kick out of it.
And Jesus said, let the little ones come to me. That's so cute.
So tell us about hell.
Well, first off, I want to tell you a little bit about me before I get into hell.
Awesome.
And maybe they're the same thing, which is also great.
That I'm a little bit like hell?
Oh, and it's fine. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was just... Yeah.
No. I do carry a bit of brimstone on me at all times.
Okay.
I thought that, Jody, I didn't want to say anything, but as soon as you walked in the studio, I smelled almost like a, I don't know if it was like burnt hair or ash or cinder or something. And I said, well, it's like this guy still has a stench of the burn on him.
Yes, 100% I do. And in 2011 or 2013, the date sometimes is debated, I passed and I spent 3.5 minutes in hell.
Oh my God.
And technically it was 3 minutes and 33 seconds, but there are 3 seconds that I cannot recall.
Wow.
So it's 3.5 that I have. And I say that to let people know, number one, you can die.
Yeah.
It's something that you don't want to think about, but guess what? You can die.
It can happen.
And
yes.
Second, there's two places you can go.
Yep. That's it.
You can go to heaven.
Yep. Yep.
Or you can go straight to hell.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. And that's
it.
What happened to me.
And I guess I do want to back up because this is fascinating. And so you sort of physically carried some of the smell of hell back, or is that because I do notice that you're sweating. At first I thought it was hyperhidrosis, but I do. You do sweat a lot. Isn't
that
right?
Yeah, we can turn up the AC.
You can turn it up all the way to 0 degrees. You can turn the AC all the way to -100 degrees. I'm still going to sweat.
Won't matter.
Wow. I'm sorry. Do we say turn it up to 0 degrees? Or do you all say turn it down to 0 degrees? Because that's always been something, you know, in Australia, we would say turn the thermostat down because it's
Australian.
Actually the temperature. I'm Australian. Yeah.
He's from Australia.
Amazing.
So do you say turn it up to a 0 degrees?
When you're in Australia, I'm sorry, in Australia though, is it easy to transfer money in America to Australia or is it hard to?
Oh, is it? Have you ever done it?
Well, you know, we'll say, like in Australia, if you were transferring money, you wouldn't say, you know, I'm going to not send you 100 Australian, we call them rubucks, which is kind of a national currency. But you wouldn't say, I'm not going to transfer. You're going to say, I'm going to transfer you. So why would you say, I'm going to turn it up to zero, unless it was colder than zero?
Because I guess with AC, the higher it goes, the colder it gets.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Think of it like this. Like any thermostat that you use, normally you're going to turn it left, right.
Okay.
And when you're turning it left, you're actually, it seems like you're turning it down, but you're actually turning it up.
I see.
Left, loosey, righty, tighty.
Awesome.
Now when I go left, loosey, that's open, up.
This is why it's different. Everything in Australia is actually opposite. It goes opposite. So, you know, our toilets flush the other way. So we say to the right, slip in shit. I'm sorry, I use that word. And then we say to the left, tighten the rest.
It's okay. I mean, I've heard fuck, piss, shit, cock. I mean, I've heard.
In hell? A lot is of that how they talk?
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Okay, oh so my let's gosh. Get back okay, to this yeah. hell so thing. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, this hell yes, thing.
Of course.
And forgive me if I take you too far back, because I'm sort of curious about why you went downstairs instead of to the good place. So if I could just back you up, have you, so you're currently on a world tour or an international tour or a church tour where you're going around and you're talking to the church of, to God's church, to God's people about this terrible experience. Now, what were you doing in your life before? What were you like before you died for 3.5 minutes?
Yeah.
Brandon, put it down.
Oh,
where did he get
that?
Where did he
get that? That's wild. I didn't know the food court was open upstairs. He must
have. Well, when you have the blades, you know, the rollers on the back, he can just kind of get through anything. So he can just slide in and it's become a. So I always thought of myself as a good Christian. And I think a lot of people do. And I think that's also the problem.
Uh-huh.
You think that you're a good Christian and you don't realize that being a good Christian, I mean, that's just opening the door. You got to step through that door.
That's right.
And you open a door to a house that is Christian. But when you open that door, that's just a Christian door that you've opened. But you're trying to be a good Christian.
Yeah.
But you have to enter that space to really live in it. And let me tell you this, you got to pay rent because that house is not for free.
Yes, right. You got to be sold out. You got to be on fire. You got to be all in.
Okay. And so, yeah, I guess I'm a little lost in the metaphor. So you're in the home, you're in a house, which is Christian.
No, I wasn't. I opened the door.
Oh, you opened the door.
Right.
Okay.
Because I wasn't in. I thought I was in.
Oh, I see.
But I wasn't in the house that was Christian. That is Christianity. If you think of it this way, think of a house of a house that has, it's one story. It used to be a duplex, but they knocked the wall down. So now it's like, you know, single family, two bedrooms, one and a half bath, hardwood floor.
Is it an ensuite?
You know, refinished.
Standard kitchen. You know?
A kitchenette.
Okay.
Kitchenette. Okay. And a two bedroom.
Wow. Okay. Really? Yeah.
It's kitchenette. It's got gas. It's got electricity. It has water, right?
So, awesome. That's all you need.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So just think of a house, right? Okay. And in the front of the house, of course, what do you have?
Some plants.
What else?
A welcome mat.
Coat rack.
What? Out front? You have a coat rack?
Do you keep them outside in Australia?
Oh, yeah.
You got to keep your overcoat outdoors?
Coat rack?
Oh, yeah. We have a coat rack on the stoop.
Oh, wow.
A coat rack on the stoop.
So you take off your coat, you hang it up, and then you come inside?
Oh, always take off your jacket before you come inside. You're not going to be rude.
That actually makes a lot of sense because that's like the coats can get dirty. You don't want to track that in. But it's like it's a Christian home.
Okay.
I don't know how else to describe it. I feel like it's fairly plug and play here. You know.
Okay.
And I was just at the door, and I thought that I was inside.
I see. Huh. Okay. I started thinking about a house so much that I almost forgot we were talking about.
I was decorating it in my mind.
I know. Anyway, okay. So we're still talking about you weren't quite Christian yet, is what you're saying.
Not Christian enough.
Right.
Okay.
No. No, I was living a life, obviously, of sin,
oh.
But not so much sin that I wasn't Christian or that I wasn't, you know, possibly saved, but enough sin where God looked at my lifestyle and said, you're going to need to get tested.
Mm.
And was that for STDs? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I've never got an STD test. Okay. Oh, I've never had
one. Good. Because you know what happens when you get a test? You end up having something and getting sick. So just never get tested. Exactly. You'll never get sick.
Well, why no? That's my whole point. It's like I've never had an STD because I never got tested for an STD.
Exactly. Because once you know, then your body does a psychosomatic thing. And the next thing you know, AIDS. And, you know, it's how it goes.
You know, sometimes I like to think of, instead of the house metaphor, which I think is a bit confusing, I like to use a bridge metaphor where I'm going, you know, it's someone that's in a car and you're driving up to one of those big, long bridges that maybe has the, what do you call that? Kind of the up and down thing.
Oh, it has a, I want to say it's a bridge opening for boats to pass through, but there's got to be a shorter name.
Right.
Yeah. For that. A bridge opening.
A bridge boat opening.
The
a
lift
bridge
up. Bo- the a bridge, lift open.
Yeah, it's called a, I have it on tip of my tongue. Okay. It's called a, I think it's called a Schirmer.
Okay.
Good to know. Okay. So there's God's Schirmer.
God's Schirmer. So you're driving up and you're going, okay, God's over there, but the Schirmer is up. And you can't quite get over there to God because the Schirmer is actually the choices that you've been making behind you on the road that you've been driving that have signaled ahead to the bridge to tell it to lift up and not let you through because the ship that's coming through is also your past. And I just like to use that metaphor as a way to think about.
But where's the house then? How does the house fit on the bridge?
Okay, where is the house in this scenario?
Are you saying there's no house in this scenario? This is a...
What, do you know the little houses where they look over the bridge to see who's coming? Kind of the lookout station? What is that called?
It's like the bridge engineer's house. The bridge engineer office.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a lighthouse.
No, it's not a lighthouse. No, definitely not.
And it's not a kiosk.
I don't think
in
you can use a lighthouse in sort of a Christian metaphor. It doesn't work.
But right. I heard this once in an awesome Christian sermon about how Jesus...
I've got to interrupt you. Is it Brandon? Is that a butterfly knife? I'm sorry. He's...
Oh, God. Yeah. Brandon!
He's swinging
it. Put that down, buddy.
He's swinging it like nunchucks. He's swinging that thing like nunchucks. Well, is he into taekwondo or stuff like that?
I have to get him out of any kind of martial arts sport, because he beats the hell out of anyone else he's facing.
Is that
and
right?
it's brutal.
He's a champion. No, he's sounds like
a little bit. He's definitely got some me in him, but I'm also scared that he might have got some brimstone on him as well.
Okay.
Oh,
let's get back to you. Spent some time.
I just wanted to finish my church metaphor about how I one time heard a pastor who said that there was a man just like you, Jody, who brought his son to work that day. Something happened. He had to bring his son to work. There wasn't school. Maybe it was snowing. I don't know. And so he's in the bridge little house, and the bridge is up, and there's a train coming, and the train is full of people, and the train has to come across the bridge. Mm-hmm. And so the bridge engineer in the little house has to put the bridge down so that the train can come across. And just as he's about to hit the lever to make the train tracks go into place so everyone on the train survives, he looks, and guess what? His son has crawled down, and his son is in the gears of the bridge.
Oh my God.
And so he, in that moment, he has to make the decision whether or not to crush his child in the gears to put the bridge down so that he can save everyone on the train. And he puts the down, and he hears the screams and cries of his son as he's being crushed in the gears. And that's exactly what God did when he had his son hang on that cross so that all of humanity in the train could be saved. And I thought, that is a beautiful teaching tool from a very solid pastor.
It reminds me of the story of Abraham.
You see?
And the binding of Isaac.
Yep. Yep.
And it reminds me of that. And it also makes me think of, too, the train. Actually, this is amazing. I was actually at a sermon, and I said this. I just remember this. But it was trying to understand. Think of it this way. Think of, like, God as a plant.
Yes. A plant. Okay.
Okay.
God's a giant tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he could also be a little tiny shrub. And we're the water that's going down dripping inside. Now, that tree's going to survive regardless, because that tree doesn't actually need water because it's God.
Yeah.
But we're the water that can help the tree grow bigger.
Awesome.
But if we take that water away, that is us, because God doesn't need it, because God is the tree. Because actually God's giving us oxygen and life. And actually that water needs that oxygen to be made, because in the clouds, that's where water comes from. But water also comes from the ground, ocean. So if we think about it like in a bigger picture, there's a way to adapt that in a way to think that, like, is God in the soil? Is God, am I soil with God? Am I soiled in God?
Awesome.
And that's where I want to take us now, because when I think of dirt, when I think of soil, I think That's where I was face down.
Okay.
In life.
Yep. And is okay. I'm sorry, just one question. Is that now, are you referring to the plant that was in the house? I put a plant in the front entryway of the house.
Of your imagined house? Right.
Uh-huh. Now, is it that plant or is this a different plant?
There. I mean, it's all plants. That's okay, that's the great. Point because God is, you know, why can't God be all plants?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's just, I do want to find out, how did you, what does it look like where you were on this unrighteous path and then you died? First off, how did you die?
A lot of people don't ask that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of my first question. I guess it could kind of be overshadowed by the hell thing if you really think about it.
Sure.
Where someone goes, I went to hell. You don't really go, well, how did you die? You're going, well, what's
what
that like?
What was it like? Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a part of the story that I don't really get to tell often. And I was at a barbecue with my brother-in-law and he was making a corn brisket and where you get, you have ears of corn and you just shove them in the thickest part of the brisket. And you slow cook that for about 10, 12 hours. I mean, use any rub you want. He does a peanut butter rub, which is actually surprising.
Ooh, that's
really,
good.
Really good homemade.
Yeah.
And a little bit of salt, a little bit of cayenne. You really want that heat to pop, right? Ooh. When you're munching in there. Mm. And it's a seasonal thing, y'all. So don't try to make this, you know, when the corn's not good. Because out to nothing. I mean, the way that grocery stores just have like food 24/7, 365, like that's not normal.
Okay.
Right. You know, that's a little pet peeve of mine. Like, let me just eat what's available when
in
it's available.
Season.
I'm sorry, what are we talking about?
I think that like stone fruit you can only get in the fall late
right.
summer.
But is this the pot of the death story or I forgot?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
oh,
okay. Yes, yeah. I'm just telling you what I was eating. Just to, like this is a big part.
Okay, yeah.
So we're hanging out and he cracked a Miller Lite.
Oh, it grieves the heart of God.
It was a Budweiser. What was it? It was a Amstel. I think it was an Amstel cider. And he cracked one. And you know we're just sitting and talking. Brisket's done. That pops out. I just made a casserole. That was easy. That was just rigatoni, Parmesan cheese, and ground beef. And so awesome. We just were getting that all set up. Cut up the corn brisket. I have my slice, obviously, and I take too big of a bite, as I have a problem doing. Well, normally, when I'm eating, I just take like a big old bite. And
well, when corn's in season, it's something special, you know.
It really is. Like you want it, Brandon.
He has
to put it down.
It looks like he has made a full salad from the salad bar.
Yeah, he. Wow. Well, he loves greens, and that's honestly become a problem because he needs to eat some red meat.
But he's got chickpeas and croutons in there. That looks good. Is that ranch or blue cheese?
It's his own. He brings it.
Wow.
So I took a big old bite of that corn brisket.
Okay. And okay. Too big a bite.
The center tube of the corn, the heart of the corn.
Oh yeah.
I got that down and
you ate the cob.
Wait, I'm sorry. Are we talking about meat? I've always thought corn brisket. What brisket? I think of meat, but now you're talking about corn. So is this brisket that's wrapped around a piece of corn?
No, no, the corn is shoved into the thick part of the brisket.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Okay.
I've never heard of this, but
so like, you know, when you're cutting a brisket into cubes, as you do.
Mm-hmm. So this is like putting potato chips on a sandwich, huh?
A little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You're putting your sides in with your entree. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Trying to expedite things.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dennis, my brother-in-law, great guy. And he, you know, I bite too hard into the corn heart, the tube of the corn. And that gets lodged in my throat.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
A choking hazard.
And so I start dead sprinting around the backyard.
Okay.
Just to get away from Dennis?
This is what happens with the human body. You panic.
Well, and also because I'm, you know, because Dennis is a big A, I think.
Well,
or is he not?
He's a big A?
Oh, he's a big A. I thought maybe.
Oh, Dennis is.
He's gay? From
oh,
the,
I,
because of the Amstel cider?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it crossed my mind.
No, he's chill. I feel like he's married to my sister. So,
I
should have taken that from brother-in-law, but yeah,
well,
you never know these things.
Yeah. Being married to someone of the opposite sex is a dead ringer for straightness.
100%.
So you're running away because you don't want Dennis touching you?
Or you're just panicking?
No, I'm panicking.
Okay.
Have you ever had something lodged in your throat? Have you ever had a brisket
never,
stuff?
I've never had that. I've never had that. I don't know why you would say. I've never had that.
I choked on a sip of water one time. It doesn't take much.
It's choking on that. If you ever have a near-death experience, I'm telling you right now, fight or flight kicked in.
Sure.
And obviously my fight kicked in. And I was trying to fight this out of me. And I was sprinting around the backyard, touching every single corner of that wrought iron fence and going back and forth. That's pretty much doing wind sprints, if you will. I mean, and I was choking for a good, I want to say, 20 minutes.
Were people laughing? Is this like when you cut a chicken head off and its body runs around?
People were freaking out, scared.
Okay, okay.
And I'm just, you know, going back and forth, doing like touches, touching the one ends of the fence, touching the other, you know. And at a certain point, when you're running, you're thinking like, okay, this is a good, I'm getting a PR right here. I'm actually having good strides. You know, if I can tap into this for, let's say, like marathon running, whatever. But, you know, that's just,
you got your heart rate up, you're getting some cardio in the meantime.
Finally, I drop.
Oh.
And that's when I died.
Wow.
Well, I can tell why. Now I understand why you don't really include that story in, you know, your talk that you do, mm-hmm. because I don't know if it gained you a ton, but I do want to hear about now. Okay. So you're dead. And
yeah, this was 2011, 2013.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So 2013
or 2012,
2013, or I guess it could be 2012. You're dead.
Yeah.
What happens next? Because I think this is really why people would be listening to the episode.
Right when you die, you're dead.
Really? It's not like the white light and the slow moving in the tunnel?
Well, not for me. I went to hell. And what happened was I felt a hook go right into my belly button.
Oh, disgusting.
Yank me down. And oh, no. I was going belly button first with a little tiny hook in there, but strong enough to hold me.
Oh, no.
But also lighten up the pool. And it looked like my belly button skin was stretched out enough where it was like a little clear, like translucent, so I could see through it. And then I'm flying down. I land, and now I am. This happened in LA, by the way. And I'm boom, right on the 405.
Oh,
I'm on the 405, whoa. And it's like, think of LA, and then like a nice sunny day, and then boom, now it's just in hell.
Okay.
Oh.
And all these cars are just on fire. Everything's like on fire, and I'm walking through, and all of a sudden, I just see these demons, these creatures, like disgusting. Their skin looks like it's bubbled and boiled over, and they have no tops of their head. So there are no eyes. You can just kind of see brain exposed. Ugh. And their sharp teeth, and they're crawling over the freeway overpass to get to me, crawling over the cars. And I'm walking, and I get to this freeway edge, and I look down, and I can just see what is just a whole bunch of people getting eaten up and just tortured up. They're getting eaten up and tortured
okay,
up.
Okay, see, we would say down tortured there. Down in Australia.
I'm standing on the edge. All of a sudden, I extend my hand and I just grab this thing, and it looks like it's a medical bracelet. And I'm like, what the hell? And then right as that happened, boom, I get a shock. And Dennis, my brother, who is a volunteer, my brother-in-law, who's a volunteer ENT, was able to help me come back. Now that was a minute. I die again.
Wow.
No.
Oh, no.
And was it from a different cause or the same?
Yes, because Dennis is an ear, nose, and throat volunteer. So he's like, he was doing the best he could to like figure out what was going on. So he actually closed my nose and throat to try to get my ears to breathe in. And that jarred me, but it also killed me again. So it gave me like a spark to wake up, but then it like knocked me out. So I'm dead again. Now,
wow.
This is when it gets serious.
And are you sure you're positive he's not gay? Because ear, nose, and throat that's pretty gay.
I mean, yeah, but it's like he's married to my sister, you know.
Okay, that's it. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You know, like, I don't know how else to describe that. Like, if you're married to a woman, it's done. You
done
know,
deal,
you're good.
Babe. Yep, yep.
So, I die a second time.
Oh.
But the whole time I'm dead. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So now I'm back in hell.
Yeah.
Right. And so for some reason I'm at this hospital in LA, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, what the heck's going on? I see Rachel Weisz. She's in the pool.
Really?
And then Tilda Swinton is there.
Oh, not surprised.
And she's got what looks like a spear. Mm-hmm. And then that Russian dude from John Wick in the second one.
Uh-huh.
He's in there. And he's walking to me, and he drips down. He like comes down from like the ceiling, drips Ooh. Down, and I'm on the ground. And I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. My wrists are split. I'm bleeding out. I'm bleeded out.
Oh no.
And then so he's just like, he starts dragging me. He's like, he goes to me. He this is what the Satan said to me. Because he was Satan, by the way. I don't know if I'm burying the lead here, but I got to talk to
okay,
Satan.
You did not say
and
that.
He was in John Wick?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, he was
Not
in the
surprised.
Second movie in the very beginning. I think he's like, or was it the first one? It was the second movie he was there. And then he's like in the office, and he's talking about like, he's like, he killed him with a pencil. You know, he does. I'm not good at the accent.
What's the line? I'm pretty good at accents, actually.
He goes, he killed him with a pencil.
Oh, yeah.
But he says it like with like a Russian.
Like Russian?
European.
Like, he killed him with a pencil.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
That's really good.
That's really Russian good. Sounds
yeah,
so
da,
scary.
Da, da. They say
it
da,
sounds
da.
So
it
scary.
It sounds really
Russian
scary.
Sounds so
yeah. Terrifying.
I don't like it. The Cyrillic alphabet, it's not my thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Phoenicians with their alphabet. So he starts to grab me and he starts to pull me in. And uh-huh. and then as he's doing that, I like, I start getting heavier. He can't do that. He's like, what's going on? I find out I've sacrificed myself for Rachel Weisz. And then I don't know. I'm like, Rachel Weisz is, I don't know if I told you this. She has a twin sister who is in hell. And really? That's whose medical bracelet I got. And then I was like, I'm going to trade my soul for hers. Because I was like, I knew this was going to happen. I knew that the end of the world was going to happen if they were able to, like, Tilda Swinton was going to kill Rachel Weisz because she was pregnant with the Antichrist. And I was like, that's not going to happen. Not on my fucking watch. Sorry. Okay. I'm just, and well, then I was, so I'm like, you know, I'm like, let's do this. And then Shia LaBeouf was there. He died. Shia LaBeouf was there with me. He died. Satan kills Shia LaBeouf. And Shia LaBeouf was like 16, 17. And then I'm there. And then he's pulling me. And then he's like, what's going on? And then I'm like, I start rising up. And then LA behind me turns to heaven because I'm going to heaven because I did the ultimate sacrifice like Jesus.
Oh.
And then Satan goes, why don't you make him earn it? And then he jams his hands into my chest without breaking my skin, just gets in there and rips out all the tar and all the cancer that was in my lungs. So I was an avid smoker in hell, right? Not in real life. And then throws it out. And then now I wake, and then boom, I wake up.
Wow.
I wake up. And my brother-in-law was able to open my mouth and use his tongue to get out the corn that was stuck in the back of my throat.
Just gobbled it right out.
Yeah.
This is so, and oh. I mean, I haven't heard you talk yet, and I just,
it's powerful.
I have goosebumps, it's because powerful. If that is what you're bringing to the services this weekend, mm-hmm. I just think people are
this
going
is what
to
people
love
need
that.
To hear.
My only question is, does it sound a bit like, have you seen that Keanu Reeves movie, Constantine?
No.
I don't think I have. No.
Okay.
I've never really seen any Keanu Reeves movies.
Oh, really?
I love Keanu. I think he's very handsome. Very handsome.
Did you not see John Wick?
No.
Oh, you didn't actually see it. Okay.
No.
I thought John Wick might be that Bourne Identity guy who's always going on the late night shows. Now, I have a quick technical question, Jody. This Rachel Weisz, I know she's been dabbling, speaking of gay, in some of these same-sex romance acting roles. And I was just wondering, so I'm not surprised to hear that she was in hell, but I was wondering, since it was hell, did she have her shirt off? Were her breasts exposed? Was there kind of ragged clothing over them? Was she kind of showing her body to you? Because that's how hell
no,
is.
No.
She was covered.
No, it was actually really... It was very tasteful, even though she like fell into a pool. You couldn't see anything. It was done really tastefully. It was like out of respect to like the idea of what was happening. So that's like, you know, not to distract the eyes to be like, oh, look, you know, the human body, whatever. But right. it was actually done really well where I kept you in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. I just noticed that. I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's good to know that hell doesn't have any wet t-shirt contest because it sounds like something that would be right up their fiery alley.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And, you know, again, I'm just so thankful that I've been allowed to come here to y'all's mega church to speak on this because it's something that needs to be brought in awareness.
Yeah, yeah. Our crowd is going to love it. Yep. It's real.
Hell is not an imaginary place.
Yeah.
Hell is not some place that's just like made up in the mind or like it's like a boogeyman, scary Baba Yaga from John Wick. It's not like a fake thing. It's legit. It's real. And if you think for a second that it can't happen to you.
Yep.
Well, it can.
Yep.
And again, the metaphor with the bridge, with the doors open in the bridge and there's all these plants inside the bridge. That's exactly what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you this, before I died, again, I thought I was a good Christian, but in reality, I was walking that tightrope that was going to snap and send me to hell, which it did. Yeah. I would drink ink. I would go into banks, crack pens, drink ink. I would go to my neighbor's house. I'd ask to borrow salt, and then I'd get the salt, and then I'd use some of it. I would, you know, but then they'd come over to my house, say, can I get some sugar? I don't want, no. Hard line. I wasn't open to people.
Interesting.
What was the ink? I'm sorry. What was the ink thing?
What about it?
You just drank it.
Well, the evil one clearly had
uncommon.
A hold of you.
Okay.
Yeah. Was telling you to
put
these.
Well, I guess it's in the name.
That's what Satan
drink.
Does. He says, put this in your body. Put that in your body. You know, this isn't a household object. It could be a sex toy.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. And I do want to ask one question about how you physically
continued to smell like hell, because I think that is something that a lot of people probably don't, because, you know, it's not like your body disappeared while your brother-in-law was messing about.
Did it?
On you. You know, it did.
I mean, when you go, but when you run the tape back, who knows?
Oh, is there a recording?
There is. YouTube has taken it down.
Mm-hmm. You can put it on GodTube. Anything YouTube takes down, GodTube will take.
GodTube? What is GodTube?
Uh-huh. It's the better one. This is real. There's GodTube. Anything that YouTube takes down, you can put on GodTube. So there's a lot of good sermon illustrations on there, too.
Anything metaphors. YouTube? I mean, YouTube takes down like a lot of abuse and
yeah, GodTube will take it. GodTube will take it. Speaking of Abraham and Isaac, you know, they'll take it all. You can kill your kid on there. Well, forgive me if this is too personal a question, Jody, but I've been wondering, because I know our audience is going to eat you up and they need to know about the dangers of hell and that it is a very real place that is awaiting them if they don't have an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And they're going to love it. But I was just wondering, because I think I'm sure a very important part of your messaging that you're out on the road with to God's people is, what have you done to make sure that now you are having an authentic relationship with Jesus so that the next time your heart stops, you go upstairs instead of to the bad place? How do you know you're living authentically now and you're a real Christian?
I'll tell you exactly how. Number one, I'm here.
See?
I'm right.
Hey,
here.
Man, that's God thing. Yep.
And that's already, I'm living in action. I'm living in his voice. I'm able to step off his tongue and into the real world and do exactly what he's saying through my body.
You're deep
that's
in the house.
How I know.
You're in the house.
Exactly.
You're in the Christian house. You're as deep as you can go in the house.
And your car is in the garage.
Car's in the garage.
Packed in the garage after crossing the bridge to get there.
Yes.
I was going to tell you both, because you shared you, Jody, you got your house Christian metaphor, and you got Gray, you got your bridge metaphor. For me, my metaphor of living authentically as a real Christian is a bowl of fettuccine Alfredo. And here goes the thing about why. Now, with fettuccine Alfredo, this is what makes it so good is that, so you got to have a little bit of garlic, but not too much. See, here's the thing, that we are called as Christ followers to live in the world, but not be of the world, okay? So you need a little bit of garlic, but it'll overwhelm the dish. So for instance, we can live in the world. We need to go to the mall. That's okay. As Christians, you can go to the mall. Once you're out there in the world, maybe you have the opportunity to share Jesus. There's a little bit of garlic, you know, not too much. Then you also, I think one of the most important parts is Parmesan. And I would say that is making sure that you are in constant community and you are in accountable relationships. You're in a small group. That's the Parm. You're going to put Parm in the sauce. You're also going to put just sprinkle some Parm on top for good measure in the end, just for some more flavor, as you're going to do with a lot of salt, a little bit of pepper. Then you got the cream, you know, these are the messages you're consuming on the weekends. You know, then you got the noodle. That's going to be you having living a sexually pure life, because what a Christian does with their genitals is very important to the heart of God. And so all of those things are going to go into it. You know, you don't want your noodles to be too soft. You don't want to have too much sex with your Christian spouse, but you know, on a birthday or whatnot, going to keep the noodle al dente. You know what I'm saying? And these are the things you do to have the perfect balance to be a good Christian and to know that it's authentic. And when you're in Christian community, like I'm sure you are, we kind of, what do you call it? We sort of police each other. We make sure, you know, there's no divorce. You know, there are things that are frowned upon, you know. But I guess I just wanted to share what the authentic Christian life felt like to me. And
amen. And
thank you. Thank you.
My stomach and my heart is full right now with the Lord and that fettuccine Alfredo. I love that. I love that. And you know, this actually comes from another sermon I was giving. Food is always on the mind, right? Yep. We're always hungry. Yep. We're always wanting to eat.
Yep.
But why are we eating? And that's to keep our body alive, right? Now, of course, I have my own story. I ate too much and then I choked on that corn tube.
See?
But in reality, if we can step back for a second and say, what exactly is on my plate? First off, what is a plate?
Right?
A plate is a serving platter.
Uh-huh.
Aren't we the serving platter for the Lord?
Uh-huh.
So make your body a plate and have people eat off of you, right? You ever go to a high-end party, really, really big party with just like some really like influential people within the community who just have so much money because God has blessed them so much?
Yes.
I've actually had the access to meet these folks recently because of my talks.
Awesome.
And I've been invited to amazing parties where you go inside and there's just a woman naked with sushi on her.
Oh no.
And you go in there and you eat off. No, it's fine. No, listen, this is the difference. Because underneath the sushi are little scriptures.
Oh, that's
so every time
awesome.
You pick up a script, okay. sushi, you get a little scripture message.
Okay.
I love it.
So she's not naked. She's clothed in the word of God.
That's right. Yeah. Have you been to In-N-Out and looked underneath the cup?
No.
Go to In-N-Out. If anyone is hearing this, go to In-N-Out right now and spend $120. And because that's a Christian establishment. And then when you look under the cup, you're going to see John 3:16.
Is that right?
And John 3:16 says, and then God gave his only son.
Yep. He loved the world so much that he put that bridge down. Yep. Yep.
And that's the point of this. When we think about food, when we think about eating, it's not the food and the eating we're thinking about. It's the thought itself.
And I'm sorry, just to interrupt that metaphor, what is
it looks Brandon, like Brandon?
It looks
is,
like, speaking of a plate of food.
Hey, back there.
Brandon! You eat it then. I don't care.
Do you have a Ziploc bag?
Jody Dear was played by Joey Greer. Check out his special, Good Night, and his fabulous podcast, You Know What I Would Do. Follow him at Jebby Grieber.
I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.